give us an option here that leads us out of a stalemate.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we don't have a bylaw on this agenda for approval because we don't have an item. Previously we had a sketch with no dimensions or anything that we were to vet with more information forward. So whatever decision you make this evening, you're going to have to consider a bylaw at another time. So if that helps you.
Councillor Neal, you have a thought.
I'll give you a motion to table the matter.
So indefinitely?
Well, it can always be lifted, but it was tabled with no return date, I guess.
It's indefinite. So this is a Yogi Berra moment, right? I think we did exactly the same thing we didn't end up there. But anyway, it's a...
Deja vu all over again?
That's it. That's exactly it, sir. Okay, so on an indefinite tabling, and Councillor Traill seconded that. I'll call the question.
We can't speak to that, right?
No. So I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? And that fails. So we're caught in a time warp. So why wouldn't we be consistent, refer this to council? This will give the applicant the opportunity to talk with planning and perhaps give us some more information. Mr. Seaman, you don't seem thrilled with that suggestion.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. My opinion is that were we to receive more information that was consistent with our expectations and in terms of meeting the intent of the bylaw and council's, if council were to endorse the minute item in terms of my satisfaction, that we would bring something forward to council. That's probably how I would see it moving. If there was movement, then we would deal with it and bring it to you.
So it sounds like a referral to the next meeting of council might help us. I can't make that motion from the chair. Councillor Hooper, thank you. Do we have a second on the motion to refer it to council? Thank you, Councillor Anderson. Questions or comments on the referral? So to be fair, the tabling motion failed. I don't think it's fair to leave it dangling forever without a resolution. Some more information. Hopefully, we will see fit. If there's legal wrangling, we will know. Mr. Seaman and his team will have an opportunity to see what's proposed, and maybe that provides comfort, or maybe it provides lack of comfort for one vote, so we don't keep going around in circles on this one. So on the referral to council, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? Okay, guys. Well, at this point, I'll sit and wait for a motion from you guys.
I'll give you a motion to refer it to the end of the agenda.
Second. Thank you, Councillor Jones. Questions or comments on referring it to the end of the agenda? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? And that motion fails.
0-4, so.
Well, that's okay. So is the other side.
I'm going to give you a motion to go into closed session so that we can receive advice from our lawyer on this matter.
Seconded by Councillor Traill. So on that motion, any questions or comments? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? And that is carried unanimously, Councillor Neal, unanimously. All right. In accordance with Section 239(2) of the Municipal Act 2001, as amended, the meeting was closed for the purpose of discussing one matter, and that was a matter that deals with advice that is subject to solicitor-client privilege, including communications necessary for that purpose. One item was discussed in closed session in accordance with Section 239(2) of the Municipal Act 2001 as amended, and one resolution was passed to provide direction to staff. All right. I believe that takes us to item three, Councillor Traill.
Thank you. I'm just, to save time, can I not just say that it's moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zort, and it's the motion that was put forward prior in the meeting? That staff working in consultation, et cetera?
Yeah, I think we've all got it. I think we've all had an opportunity to see it, so.
Can it be put up on the screen?
Can it be put up on the overhead screen possibly, yep. Please?
Any questions or comments on the motion? Councillor Neal.
So I got a few questions. First of all, who are all stakeholders? Like, is that an identifiable group? Like,
Mr. Seaman, we're all looking at you. Well, nobody can answer if he can satisfy.
Through you, so Mr. Mayor. The all stakeholders, in my interpretation, would include identifiable community members, the operators, council.
I guess the reason I'm asking is, Mr. Chair, is it, you know, should you maybe advertise? Because what if people are saying, well, geez, I was going to bring forward a proposal and I didn't know anything about this and now all my plans are scuppered. I mean, don't you want everybody at the table who might have an interest in it? That's all. So I don't know. We could advertise on our website. You could. Does that make sense?
So, Mr. Seaman, can you take that as direction?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes.
Okay, and I've got the CAO going, no.
No. He's in a no mood.
Well, through the chair, the intention here is to come back and advise council as to what the options are. And before a decision made, you're obviously going to have to consult with members of the public or all stakeholders. So I think what council is expecting here is not a polished report that says, here's the bylaw, please adopt it, but a process or a report that would tell you, here's what you should consider. And if you want to do it, you should engage the public meaningfully. Obviously, there's going to be some level of consultation here. But diving into like a full public consultation as if this is a planning act process where we invite, you know, a PIC and do all that stuff, I think is a little premature because I think you're going to want advice from staff as to the process you want to follow first. We'll give you enough information so you can make an informed decision on the next step. And at that time, if there's a desire to advertise in newspapers or have the full public consultation, there's some level of stakeholder consultation required now. And I think that would be with the people that express an interest in the matter here today, the people that are involved in the Matthias application, maybe the agricultural committees, but to do the full gamut as if we're doing the Plan Act application, I think is a little premature because you're going to want, there's two steps here. I don't think the next step is a report saying, here, adopt this regulatory bylaw.
Okay. No, I understand that, but I don't, like you brought up a PIC. I don't know why we wouldn't do a PIC. Like, if people, my concern is that it's balanced consultation, that's all. Like, there'd be some people who are going to be totally against these things. There's going to be some people who may have this in their plans. So I'm just saying, why would we not do a PIC, you know? But, like, we do them for a lot of different things. And
I'm in your hands. Obviously, we'll take direction from council. But there's a lot of permutations and combinations here that could come back to you. The process that the planning department is going through now is going to look at how you properly zone for agritourism uses. So zone clearing is going to be dealing with that. There will be links to any regulatory bylaw as part of that. And I think if you're going to engage we've already been engaging the public with the agritourism discussion as part of Zone Clarington. And Ms. Mazeros and her neighbors, they've all had input into that, and it's been excellent engagement. I think what you're looking at here is the next step in the process. And my respectful submission is, I think it's overkill to go in headfirst into a full regulatory bylaw without necessarily knowing how far reaching you want that bylaw to be. I think it would be more helpful to get input from council as to what that bylaw might look like, and then present that at a PIC, much like you'd have a Planning Act application that comes forward and says, here's what we're looking at, what do you think? At this point, I'm not altogether clear as to what council is expecting to come out of the process. And I think the benefit would be to see that before you have a PIC. That, but if you want, otherwise, I'm totally fine with that.
Okay, well, I'm not the mover, so but I saw her shaking her head, yeah, so I, you know, whatever. So I don't know if you take that as direction or not.
So I'm going to say no as direction, given I think that might be the most passionate that we've seen the CAO.
Now the agritourism venues, is that a recognized group or piece of or properties, and B, can you have a bylaw, for example, that just regulates events on agritourism properties? Like, I always thought that bylaws had to be a general application or else they could be challenged. So I kind of raised this at the planning committee meeting, and I haven't heard anything that convinces me that we can go ahead with a bylaw for events specifically for certain properties in the municipality.
The answer is yes, you can.
You can,
If you have a site-specific zoning exemption that recognizes the property for agritourism uses, and that was the basis for, that was the entire reason for the Matthias OMB appeal, was to figure out what agritourism uses or the specific use that was proposed and whether that was going to be allowed through the rezoning process.
And did that, through the chair, did that decision suggest we should have a permitting process? Or I thought it. I'm just going from memory. I thought it was specifically called for certain rules, but not necessarily a permitting process.
I'm going to put that question over to Mr. McIver.
Through the chair, the decision of the tribunal was not prescriptive in terms of whether a zoning bylaw or some other regulatory bylaw would be the preferred method of regulation. My interpretation of the decision was that the municipality should impose some restrictions on the size, number of events, and number of occupants. And it was up to the municipality, with input from the public, how best to implement that.
Through the chair, but did that specifically call for a permit for each event that would could have or would have taken place there, or just a
instead of the chair, bylaws? Through the chair, it didn't specifically name. It didn't specifically call for that. It didn't specifically exclude that possibility.
And currently, is there a requirement for any event, say over 100 people, to have a permit right now? Like, if I was going to have if I owned a farm and I was going to have an event there, would I need a permit? And I was inviting 150 people for a barbecue, for example.
Through the chair, as the author of the special event bylaw, I'll answer that question and say no. The only events, it's a special event is defined as something big on private property, big meaning more than 500 people, with a couple of exceptions, one being filming. Council put a specific requirement in that filming events, no matter how many people are involved, would attract the attention of the special event bylaw.
Okay, and this envisions all, possibly all events, say over 100 people, requiring a permit, right? A specific permit for that event. That's where this is leading, if this is adopted.
Through the chair, the wording here, I believe, is intended to say, if you have a rezoning that allows agritourism uses, then should the municipality consider supplementing the land use restrictions that are in the zoning bylaw with some other regulatory restrictions.
Okay, so I would move an amendment to say, insert the word possible permitting scheme, outlining a possible permitting scheme. I don't know if that's...
Okay, do we have a seconder for the word possible? Councillor Trail, thank you. On the word possible being added, questions or comments? Councillor Anderson.
I still have some reservation about this. You know, agritourism is real. It's something that is promoted. It's something that's going to enhance this municipality. So when we start putting restrictions and red tapes, then, you know, we won't have a community. We don't have a community that people come to and people can enjoy what Clarendon has to offer. So, and as the tribunal decision said, we should have widespread consultation. So I don't like one group come in and we just jump every time that happens. I want to see this, a full, fair process that involves the entire agricultural community, so be it. So I wouldn't support that unless that's what I want, because I support the growth of this municipality, the growth of Clarendon, and I don't like the restrictions that prohibit that development of this community. So I won't be supporting this motion.
All right, so the amendment in front of us is to add the word possible or possibly. On the amendment, Councillor Drell? Nope. Councillor Jones, are you voting? Or so the possibly, I think I'd actually mentioned that at the P&D, the possibly, I agree 100% that, you know, so this is not a foregone conclusion that council is going to, in the addition of possibly helps with that, possible, pardon me, it's not a foregone conclusion that we're going to do this. We're going to get it back and we are possibly going to look at it. So on the amendment, which is a good amendment, I'll call the question, all in support, opposed, that is carried. On the main motion, further questions or comments? So Councillor Anderson, Councillor Hooper.
Okay, in the interim, if this goes through, what happens to any events that come forward in the interim? Possible events.
So if they're under 500, they move forward. So the existing rules are the existing rules. Well, hang on, the clerk has not fully agreed
Thank you.
With me on that.
Sorry, I don't mean to prolong this, but...
No. Andy, do you agree or disagree with what I... Okay, guys, it's been one of those nights. For the record, the CAO said I was right. For the record as well, the clerk points out that there are two spots that are currently zoned to allow those events to happen. So the current rules apply on those two. There are no changes until and if we make those changes. So the current rules apply, and they apply to the two venues that exist today. Does that help you, Councillor Hooper?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Second time around.
Yes. Moved by Councillor Neal, seconded by Councillor Jouart for a second time around. All in support? Opposed? Carried. Councillor Neal.
Well, will those two venues be part of the stakeholder consultation group? I hope the
yes.
Answer is yes. So,
yes.
Okay. I didn't hear anybody. I saw a head shake over there. I didn't see Mr. Allison's response. So he's,
yes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Do we have anything further, Councillor Jouart?
I don't know if, but this is not for anything that's legal now. Anything that doesn't need rezoning can carry on as it is. It's not jeopardizing anything that's, like Councillor Neal mentioned, the daylily thing. Like, they're allowed to do that. They're selling farm products on their farm. It's like the wedding thing, which isn't really a farm product. That's the kind of thing that they're looking at.
Councillor Anderson.
So we're saying we're trying again to keep certain people out because they do have weddings and these two venues currently. Isn't that correct? Right, so we're trying to keep, and that's what I can never, ever support. That's not fair and that's not right. They have weddings at those two venues. So if they can continue, but nobody else in the future, that's grossly unfair and unreasonable.
Anything further?
So that's where this is going, and that's intolerable.
So, Councillor Anderson, sorry, Councillor Hooper? No, I just didn't know if you need, or get me closer to the mic, probably. So, Councillor Anderson, I completely and fully understand your concerns, you know, with regards to red tape and limiting things. The motion as presented to us will give council the choice what we want to move ahead with, if we want to move ahead with anything. It does align with, to my mind, what the OMB told us to do, which is to identify rules so that everyone knows what those rules are. So I have a degree of sympathy for applicants that have come forward where staff suggested that what they were doing was fine. Council decided otherwise. So both residents as well as applicants, if we get this right, will understand what we can and can't do. So this is this will come back to us as a suggestion from staff. We will do public consultation after it comes back to us, and then we'll have to make a decision as to if we regulate it and how deeply we regulate it. Okay, so with that, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? And that is carried. Thank you. So that takes us out of planning and development. We have no staff reports. There is one item of business arising from a procedural notice of motion, and I have declared a conflict on that. Councillor Neal, you have the chair.
So, Councillor Jones, do you have a motion?
So I have an amendment to make to the, as written, that the Clarington members of the Verdian Board be requested to waive their per diem meeting fees.
So my understanding, first of all, is, Councillor Jones, you're moving for a reconsideration, but then you would then move to amend the motion. Is that?
Yes.
Okay, so I think you have to move the reconsideration first.
Okay.
But you plan to introduce...
That's what
follow
I would
up
be.
Amendment
That's what
to
I
that
would be proposing.
If the reconsideration passes.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
So, Councillor Trail is going to second that.
Trail is seconding that. Okay. So, do you want to read the motion that you would amend, the amended motion, if the reconsideration passes?
If you would like me to do it, that's what I would do.
Please.
So, I would amend that the Clarington members of the Viridian boards be requested to waive their per diem meeting fees. Or is that now the Alexicon?
Okay.
As of April 1st.
So you said Viridian, actually it's Alexicon boards, right?
Correct.
Alexicon boards, formerly Viridian, okay. All right, so so that would be the motion if the reconsideration passes. So I'll call the question on the reconsideration. All in favor? Opposed? Okay, so that motion fails. So 4-2, or sorry, yeah, needed 4 votes to got 3. So thank you very much.
Alrighty, this puts us on to item 13, which is unfinished business. Addendum to report OPD-003-19. Councillor Hooper, you had a suggested motion on that as opposed to what was in front of us.
I do, and I don't know whether the clerk has a copy that they can put it up there.
Yes.
Or do you want me to read it? I can read it while you're looking for it.
You know, why don't you, Councillor Hooper, just so we capture it on the recording.
I need a second to run it, too.
Councillor Anderson seconded it.
That report OPD-003-19 and addendum to report OPD-003-19 be received, that with the exception of the non-resident fee increases, Council approve the recommended support field user fees for 2019, the annual adjustment approach using the Consumer Price Index, CPI, beginning in 2020 as set out in section 4.1 of this report. That in accordance with the recommendation and report OPD-003-19, Council approve a reduction in the artificial turf field fees during the months of June, July, and August for both youth and adult users. That is outlined in attachment number one of addendum to report OPD-003-19, Council support the revised operations department policy respecting the processing of sports field user applications beginning in the 2020 season be referred for report in the fall of 2019, and that the issue of non-resident fees be referred back to staff for a report in the fall of 2019.
Councillor Neal.
Yeah, I would move to divide the annual adjustment approach using the CPI beginning in 2020 as set out in section 4.1.
So you're leaving the exception of non-resident fee increases. You're just pulling Council approve the recommended sports field user fees for 2019. No, and the annual adjustment?
No, just
the annual adjustment?
Just the annual adjustment, yeah, beginning in 2020. Divide that from...
All right.
So and refer it to... In other words, move it down to the referral that's coming in the fall of 2019.
Okay, so let's move the motion to divide and then get the amendment on. So motion to divide. Moved by Councillor Neal, seconded by Councillor Traill. All in support? Opposed? That's carried. And the amendment is that the annual adjustment approach using the consumer price index beginning in 2020 as set out in section 4.1 of this report be referred to staff for a report in the fall of 2019?
Right.
All right. Second by Councillor Traill. Thank you. Councillor Neal, you've got the floor.
So, yeah, I guess, can we vote on the amendment then? And
yeah, that's what we're, so the amendment's what's on the floor now.
Okay. And then I want to speak to the rest of the report after. So I don't have any comments on the amendment.
On the amendment, do we have questions or comments? Councillor Hooper.
Can we just read that back? Because I didn't catch all what was said there.
Moved by Councillor Neal, seconded by Councillor Traill, that the annual adjustment approach using the Consumer Price Index beginning in 2020 be referred to staff for a report to be prepared in the fall of 2019.
Okay, that's fine.
All right. So, Mr. Horvath, this is an attempt for us to just recapture inflation, essentially, in the costs, and I didn't hear any concerns from any of the user groups on this. So we're not doing it this year. You wouldn't start until 2020, correct?
That is, Mr. Mayor, that is correct, but I think there is a concern, I think that Councillor Neal may be picking up in terms of, depending on what happens in the fall, in terms of our reporting back, the resident fee may have to be adjusted. So I think that's the question, and I think that's something we will review.
Okay, so you don't have a problem with doing that, is what I'm hearing?
No, sir.
All right. Councillor Anderson, you're supposed to ask before I do, but go ahead.
Oh. Does this mean we are going to revisit the entire fee structure, and are we going to look at the quota of residents versus non-resident, or are we going to remove that quota totally?
So on the amendment, all we're looking at is the amendments, what's in front of us now, all we're looking at is the CPI increase. And Mr. Horvath is suggesting that he can report back to us in the fall as well on that.
Okay.
So that's this bit, and we'll get to the main motion in a bit. All right?
Thank you.
So on the amendment, anything further? Call the question, all in support. Opposed, that is carried. Councillor Neal, you've still got the floor.
So, yeah, one concern I have is, and this kind of relates to the issue of, you know, when we're motions with a different sort of, I guess what I would call tag-along pieces, but the actual report, or attachment one, talks about starting in the 2020 season, groups offering youth or adult sports programming must consist of a minimum of 75% Clarington residents. Full stop. So is that what this attachment one is recommending or not? Because I get differing views on what this 75% relates to. One view is, as it states here, you must have a minimum of 75% residents. The other one is just a pricing issue. So which is the current staff proposal? The current staff proposal.
Through the chair to Councillor Neal. So the first report back on the GGC meeting was 85%. The addendum report was 75%. But based on the conversations that staff have had, and as well as the delegates tonight, we're asking for that to be referred back to staff so that we can come back with a report to council in the fall.
Okay, but I guess I'm just trying to highlight where I struggle sometimes with, because then the attachment one says one thing, and then there's another part of the report says it's only relating to the fee structure, right? The 75% requirement. So, you know, it says access to sports fields would have been offered subject to availability and at higher non-resident rates. So I'm just saying, what the current recommendation, let's say you're at 80%, can you book a field or not under the current proposal?
For the 2019 season?
Let's say you were...
Nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed.
So we've met with the groups. Other than the increase that you're going to approve here in terms of the increase in fees, that's the only thing that will change.
Okay, so is there a current non-resident sort of surcharge?
Yes, there is.
And how much is that through the chair? Let me ask you, is it material through the chair?
Sorry, I didn't have my updated report. $43 an hour.
And that is if what's the threshold to hit that hour?
There's no set threshold as we've had in the past. If it's an out-of-town team that books to use our field, they'd be paid the $43. So a team from Oshawa may be coming in here for a game or whatever the case may be, we'd be charging the $43.
So if there's a team from Clarington that has a, say 60% were non-resident, all-star team, whatever, baseball, all-star.
There's nothing in the past that's done anything, and there's nothing for 2019 at this point in time.
So going back to the addendum report here, page 4, subsection D says, It says, it is important to note that the residency requirement does not affect an association's priority ranking for field access, but only the user fees that will be incurred. And then, but then as I said, in attachment one, suggests the opposite, that it does affect your ability to book a field, right? So I just think that needs to be fleshed out because it's contradictory.
I agree.
And this is further to my concern that sometimes we're voting on things that are on different pieces of paper. It doesn't all hang together. So maybe we should have this all on one, you know, when it comes back, one complete motion. We know exactly what we're voting on. Thank you.
I guarantee that will happen.
On the main motion, questions or comments? Councillor Anderson.
So to be absolutely clear, nothing will change for 2019, correct? Except for the fees. And what's the difference in how much, what's the increase, dollar amount?
50 cents increase per hour.
Okay.
And a reduction in the artificial turf.
Correct.
Thank you.
All right, anything further? I see nothing more. I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you, thank you. Councillor Hooper, I'm going to guess that you have bylaws.
I do. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Anderson, that leave be granted to introduce bylaws 2019-2023 to 2019-027, and said bylaws be approved.
Councillor Neal.
Yeah, I had a question on, I assume this was part of the package, 2019-027?
Yeah, the clerk has an answer for you.
Through the chair, if your question is, why is this coming forward now?
No report, nothing, just do it. It's
only been 15 years.
On December 8, 2003, Council endorsed the recommendation contained in report PSD 14103, approving a rezoning. This was a holding, and according to planning staff, the site plan agreement has been signed and registered, and staff are satisfied that the holding can now be removed.
I assume the building was built and everything? Or was it built?
Through the chair, I don't have that answer. Councillor Neal asked if the building has been built.
Through the chair, I don't have that answer either, but we can find it for you. As soon as possible.
He doesn't give a municipal address, so I'm just wondering what the... I'll check. I'll drive by and check.
All righty.
No, I'm serious. Can I get the address or not?
We will.
Yes.
We can. Oh, Kirk has it.
Oh.
No, that's the owner.
No.
We'll get the address to you.
Thank you.
All right. Anything further on the bylaw? Call the question. On support? Opposed? Carried. We don't have any procedural notices of motion. Other business? Councillor Hooper.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. And I just have something quick. I don't know whether all of Council read through this report that came through. It's called Reducing Litter and Waste in Our Communities Discussion Paper. Very good read. There's hardly any mention of thermal treatment. All about landfill.
All right, thank you, Councillor. Anything further? Councillor Hooper, the confirming bylaw, please.
Yes, moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Anderson, leave be granted introduced bylaw 2019-028, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of the Council of Municipality in Clarendon at a regular meeting held on the 8th day of April 2019, the said bylaw be approved.
Questions or comments? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. I was going to suggest the night is young, and so are we. Sure. I'll take the motion to adjourn, seconded by Councillor Traill. All in support? Opposed? Carried. Councillor Neal, we have an address for you.
The address for that report was 53 Town Line Road South, located on the east side of Town Line, south of Barron Court, and north of Kingswood Drive in Curtis.